Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here to continue our concerns series tonight. Concerns about the 2024 Ravens, a fairly complete team. But tonight we're going to talk about their ability to beat press coverage. And here to talk about that with me is Brad McGowan. Brad, how are you doing?
Ken, I'm doing great. Training camp started. I've already listened to your training camp report podcast for both days. Excited. Can't wait to keep hearing about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun to do, and it's some of the only material in the whole year that I do solo, so I can just kind of rip through it really quickly. I don't know if the pace is to your liking, but if it's not, the folks, if I'm still not going fast enough, or the stories are too long, or whatever, send me a DM. I'd love to hear your thoughts about it on Twitter. Okay, so beating press coverage, interesting concern you picked out. Tell me why you picked this.
Yeah, so the Ravens as a team constituted under Lamar Jackson, generally throughout the season, don't face a lot of press coverage, don't face a lot of man coverage, frankly. You've talked about this a bit on your podcast about how a lot of teams prefer to play zone against Lamar so the defense can have all eyes on Lamar to prevent him from scrambling. And so they don't really face a lot of press coverage, and there's probably not a lot of teams that are really set up to play predominant press coverage. But in some of these big time losses where Baltimore has looked they can't get out of their own way on offense, I'm thinking of the AFC title game last year, you know, the famous cover zero game against Miami on Thursday night. They face a lot of these press man looks, and they haven't been able to beat these looks. And a friend of mine is a suite holder. He attended the event in the spring that the Ravens hold for all the suite holders, and Harbaugh spoke, and Harbaugh shared that, you know, frankly, the Chiefs figured out what no one else had been able to figure out all year, is that the Ravens couldn't beat press coverage last year. They forced them into a lot of press beater looks, and they couldn't do it. And, you know, we know the result of that. So going into this season, I don't know if they have addressed that specifically. And so I think it's something worth at least exploring as a concern.
Okay, very good. So well articulated. First of all, I want to talk about that suite holder event that's held. I went to that when I was at Transamerica. Transamerica had a suite, of course, and I went to that event for several years. And I'll tell you, that is one of the all-time great events that the Ravens throw each year. It's kind of, if there's two events in Baltimore you're not going to miss, don't miss the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Awards when they're given out. I think they're still doing that, but anyway, I presume so. Anyway, fantastic event where you talk to a lot of the older Colts, a few older Ravens too, and get a chance. The Colts, a lot of the times of the Burt Jones era, you get to see them. They're perfectly happy to have a nice conversation with you. They're not like not shy about giving autographs and whatnot, or wanting to charge you for an autograph, that sort of thing. They're not like that. So you get a great opportunity for that. The other event is the suite holder event. And the Ravens will have generally three people there, and sometimes four, to talk to you. And the first is Harbaugh. The second used to be Newsom, but now it would be DaCosta, who would be at that kind of thing. Then they'll have usually a current player. So I went, I saw Ray Rice 1 year and Joe Flacco another. And then they'll usually have an old timer. And this was funny because Peter Boulware was there and he's literally just standing off by himself for 15 minutes waiting for somebody to talk to him, and nobody does. But it's a great event. If you really want to get inside information on the Ravens and what's going on, terrific event to go to. It's one of the few where Harbaugh is at the answering questions and he won't give you the coach speak in the same manner that he would at, say, the camp podium. So you get a much more thoughtful and I think open answer from them. They won't tell you everything about who they're going to draft or anything like that, but they will tell you all kinds of information. It's a great event, first of all. So your friend is lucky to go, and he should keep that a secret in terms of the tickets for his company. That is, oh no, it sucked. That's what he should be telling everybody. And and then to say, yeah, I'll sign up for that next year. I'll go.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, to be fair, he is from New England originally and manages the tickets on behalf of his company. So, but yeah, I mean, when he shared that, it's something that I've been thinking a bit about, how Kansas City really forced Baltimore to beat them against man coverage, and Baltimore really wasn't able to do it. And, you know, we mentioned in the lead up that they face a lot of zone coverage, and their receivers are guys that excel against the zone. I mean, we know about Lamar's connection with Andrews and how he finds those spaces in the zone. We did the preview podcast talking about what we can expect from Nelson Agholor, and he proved last year to be someone that really did understand sitting down in the zone and that extended play experience with Lamar. You know, I've mentioned to Ken off air, I'm a big fan of the reception perception website that charts wide receiver data and rates the receiver's ability to win against press coverage, against man coverage, against zone coverage. And they did a write-up on Zay Flowers, and he was in the 90th percentile against zone. So he was excellent last year against zone. However, a lot of those receivers that we talked about, they struggle dramatically against man. Flowers, frankly, was in the 35th percentile last year against press looks, and he was the Ravens' top target earner last year. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they combat that and if they think it's something that's important for them to be successful for 2024.
Right. So let's go back to the AFC Championship game, because obviously a very disappointing loss, and a loss that came after the Ravens had beaten everybody good, most of the bad teams as well, but everybody good they'd beaten by multiple scores. So they faced the Chiefs in this game. They hadn't lost to anybody good. And the Chiefs did come at them with probably the best three-man cornerback group in the entire league, with McDuffie and Joshua Williams and Lardarius Sneed. Lardarius Sneed had a lot of penalties last year, 18 penalties, but the other guys are fantastic. And Sneed, penalties aside, was also outstanding in terms of what he can do. There's a lot of physicality in that group. McDuffie, a little bit smaller guy, but still a fairly physical slot corner. Are we overly concerned about it? Really, is the problem really that the Chiefs press coverage is able to beat the Ravens receivers, or can you generalize that problem given you know, the difference in talent between the Chiefs and the rest of the league?
I don't know that I'm smart enough to say. I think some of the more miserable losses in the Baltimore era have come when Lamar is under pressure. And in order to limit a quick throw, teams will often, if in a pressure look, they'll press or play tight man coverage in order to, again, eliminate a quick throw. And so, you know, I can think of a number of different scenarios where that's been an issue, but your point is very valid. How many teams are actually going to be able to play this kind of defense and succeed against Baltimore? And I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that there are probably a couple things that Baltimore can do proactively in these scenarios to avoid this, outside of, you know, having Odell Beckham of 2017 magically appear on their roster.
Okay, so let's pull at that thread a little bit. So what can the Ravens do? Because, I mean, one of the obvious things you do to try and beat press coverage is to put receivers in motion. So if you've got a smaller guy, you can get him off press by putting him in motion. Does limit in some ways the routes he can run, but it's a way to get him moving, get him usually generally not touched off the line of scrimmage.
Correct. And we saw that in the Miami game last year where they hit that long play to Flowers when he did the speed motion route that Miami used a lot last year. So I imagine that those kinds of concepts would be successful. I think both Flowers and Bateman could potentially take a step forward this year. You know, I referenced how Flowers rated in reception perception against press coverage in his rookie season. Coming into the league as a draft prospect, he was actually pretty successful in college against press coverage. So, you know, I imagine as he matures as a player, perhaps he learns some of the subtleties of beating that as a smaller guy. It's different than bigger guys, but he's exceptionally quick. So perhaps that's something he can get better at personally as a player.
So starting as a Z receiver, typically, and it doesn't have to be this way, but it is typically the way, the outside receiver on the right side of the field, which is most typically going to be Flowers, with a slot tight end, that tight end is going to be on the line of scrimmage as the necessary man outside the tackle. And then Flowers gets to be off the line of scrimmage, which, first of all, allows him to use motion if he wants to. But second of all, just being a yard off the line of scrimmage is helpful for beating press coverage in and of itself. Because I know he had a fair amount of jet motion in college as well, that he would have been in a similar spot where he was typically lining up a yard or more off the line of scrimmage to try and help him get free with his size. Is there something about the NFL level that is going to make it more difficult for, there's probably less good press coverage, lengthy corners in college, but is there something that's going to make it easier for NFL corners to press Flowers?
I think just the NFL level of it all. I mean, we just finished talking about how many teams in the league are actually going to be able to execute the game plan that Kansas City pulled off in the AFC title game. I mean, they had a cadre of above average to exceptional defensive backs that allowed them to run those coverage schemes. And not a lot of teams are going to have that. I think Zay will get better as he matures. I mean, the other potential area of growth is with Bateman having a fully healthy season. I mean, he was touted as a route runner / release specialist coming out of college. And in his second season, you know, when we geared up in 2022 for the Miami game, this was the, you know, the game after the Cover Zero fiasco at the beginning of the season, we had the quick game schemed up to beat those looks. And that was where he broke that 75-yard touchdown off a slant.
To be clear, okay, in 2021, I know you're saying this exactly, but let's be clear so the listeners are understanding.
Sure.
So in 2021 was the Cover Zero game, and it was actually a little bit of off coverage in that game. It was like 5 or 7 yards they were playing off, but they were controlling a very short area, forcing Lamar to throw quickly and usually dropping two guys from the center of the line of scrimmage and blitzing those outside guys, which meant free runner all game. And the Ravens weren't able to figure it out. But you're talking about the week two game of 2022 when they built a big lead against Miami and blew it in the fourth quarter.
Correct. And in that game, part of them building that big lead was Bateman's ability to get free releases in tight coverage situations. And that's what that 70-yard touchdown was. He had a press look and he was able to get a free release because he put such a great move on. I'm blanking on the cornerback, the touted cornerback that Miami released this offseason, the veteran guy.
Xavien Howard?
Yeah, it was against Howard, and he burned him for a touchdown. We did not see that Bateman last year. That Bateman came into the season hobbled, coming off the Lisfranc, and never really developed the chemistry with Lamar. He's the one guy that has the natural skill set to be able to, through his release technique, to break those kinds of looks. And so, you know, that's an area of growth and potential upside for Baltimore this year if they face a similar situation.
It's an interesting thing because if you face press like that, and Lamar can identify it pre-snap in particular, there are options that Bateman has with the space budget he gets on that left side as the as a island receiver. So he can he has choices he can make in his route. At that point, obviously, you know, Bateman, one of the things, and you mentioned how Flowers had been a guy who hadn't been great against man coverage. Part of that is Bateman has real wiggle at the top of his route. He shows a move to defender, kind of has the good timing to let the defender bite on that move and then break out of it, which creates some immediate separation there that good timing will take advantage of. Flowers, not as much, very sudden athlete. If he could become a great route runner, he'd be probably the best top three receiver in the NFL if he were able to become a really good route runner. Yeah. Anyway, Bateman would be the natural player, I agree with you, to be a team that would really punish the opponent for press coverage, not just because he has the, you know, some of the skills and some of the physicality to beat it, but also because he probably has the ability to make some deep plays off of that by a quicker release and some separation there. I think that's a good point you make. I think it's really a good point that you make that Bateman is really the key player here.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I mean, he was, he was drawing comparisons, and I don't remember if this was going into a second season of having this.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Similar skill set to Davante Adams. That's very high, a high bar. Like Davante Adams is a one of one. But if he can develop, you know, a number of moves to get space off the line, that's really going to help Baltimore figure out in these scenarios how, you know, it's going to give Lamar an option. The other thing that I want to bring up as an option in these scenarios is Lamar can just run more. And this was something that was maddening to me watching the game from my couch in the AFC title game, is it looked like he didn't want to run when he had potentially an open lane and just a scramble situation. And if you break enough runs when you're getting those man coverage looks, like, you're going to force the defense out of that look if Lamar Jackson is killing you on scrambling 8, 10, 12 yards. I mean, he doesn't have to bust a long one. As he has matured as a passer and as the Ravens offense has matured, sometimes it feels like he is fighting the narrative and wanting to get his guys involved and throw it when I wish he would take off and run. But that's all part of him just becoming the best player that he can be. And, you know, he's two-time MVP that keeps getting better. So, you know, I have confidence that he will keep getting better. And we heard Harbaugh the other day say that their goal is for him to be the greatest of all time. So,
okay. Let me compare this a little bit to poker, because in Texas Hold'em in particular, it's very easy It's much easier to become a great pre-flop player than it is to become a great post-flop player. And most really great poker players want to take you to after the flop so they can read you, so they can probe at you with bets, so they can do the things to win hands and play, frankly, a lot of small pot poker to wear you down and beat you to death. That, you know, they're gonna have big advantages in. Lamar, I would say he's similar to that in that the initial play, and this is why he disdains some of the timing routes, takes away some of his advantage in that extended play poker. So if the post flop play is Lamar extending the play in any way, shape, or form, roll out, anything where he's moving away from pressure, reestablishes the lines to between him and the receiver, but it takes away a lot of the timing of the play, then he's likely to want to conserve that. I think even as a running quarterback, he probably wants to conserve his ability to run further into a play, which I think has probably led to a little bit less run efficiency on scrambles in recent years.
Yeah, that's fair. The thing, and this is where I'm getting beyond the X's and O's to the mental aspect of it all. The thing that I wonder in these scenarios is he playing into the decision the defense wants him to make? And, this is where you get into the Ed Reed level of film study, where his goal was, I'm going to see your look. I'm going to know your play. I'm going to give you the look that you want to execute your play, but I'm going to do something that breaks the rules of our look, because I know what you're going to do in reaction to our look. Yep. And that's the level that people don't really appreciate, where I feel people don't appreciate. And that's where, that's where the true elite quarterbacks that we think of, the Tom Brady's, this is where Mahomes has gotten, where he's going to do the thing you're not expected. Or if you're forcing him into something, he's going to take what you're giving him. And that's the level of that. I think that's the next step for Lamar, is understanding what is the defense trying to get him to do, and then playing off of that, right, and playing off of that in a way that he's reading leverage and just making the guy fall on his face.
And if you're not by now thinking about the Iocane powder scene from The Princess Bride, you should be, probably, because that's exactly what it is. You love me to think that.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone's going to get that reference, but
There's a few old people.
It's a great movie.
You got to be a little bit older, that's for sure. What else? I did want to talk about whether or not the Ravens are actually creating more opportunity or more potential problems for themselves with 12 personnel, vis-a-vis beating press coverage here. With 12 personnel, are they going to put themselves in a position where they might face more press and potentially have to get off some more difficult opportunities? And also, generally speaking, when you put a big slot in a tight end, also have an inline tight end, which is the most common 12 personnel look you're going to see. Not you have YY too, but big slot plus an inline tight end is going to be the most common. Do you create such packed boxes, which is another thing I don't think the Ravens really want to create a lot, which is why I'm a little skeptical about the whole 12 personnel thing and how well it'll work. Are they creating, multiple problems for themselves with that?
There's been a lot of talk this offseason about the potential for 12 personnel, with likely looking so excellent through his first 2 years, plus Andrews coming back. I think there's been numbers floated around how successful Baltimore was passing when Ricard was on the field. But I think all of that is built on the foundation that the reason passing out 12 personnel is successful is because teams are defending against the run. And so really the answer to that question, in my opinion, is how effective are they going to be running the ball? And that's the other aspect that we didn't talk about. We don't know what to expect from Derrick Henry at this point in his career. There is a version of the season that plays out where he you know, doesn't look like he lost a step, then no one can stop Baltimore's rushing attack, at which point 12 personnel passing game is going to be lethal with the play action, with the things they can do based off of the defense gearing up to stop the run. I don't think 12 personnel is an answer to beating press if you can't run the ball. And in a lot of cases, the reason Baltimore is struggling with the press is because the teams are loading the box and stuffing the run, and they can't throw out of that to break them out of that. And it'll be interesting to see how their run game evolves, because I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know if you could just line up in 12 personnel and just throw the ball all over the field. I mean, those guys are good, but I can't think of a team that was successful doing that, again, where it wasn't built off of, you know, secondary to the run game being successful, and then right. We're going to throw out of this.
Right. I would agree with that, first of all, for starters, because it definitely makes sense that if you threaten a really dominant run game, and the Ravens threaten a really dominant one with obviously Lamar and Henry, then you can really make use of 12 personnel more, because the play action benefit you get from it. And you have two key play action targets. And you've got, you know, with Lamar, you've got good extended play targets that you can develop on that as well. If you have Kolar, for example, is in the role of Nick Boyle from 2019, if you think back to that. I agree with that entirely, is that you've really got to be very committed to continuing to run the football to make that be having the advantage of 11 personnel is you've got three different weapons who can have complementary routes that they each can run to try and deceive the defense. So you have a hitch and a vertical on the outside, and you can have, you know, the possibility of running a slant from the slot or from the left side, for example. You get multiple routes that complement each other very well in 11, but with 12, you have a little bit less verticality probably from your slot tight end in that case.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there is a possibility of a lot of these teams that have a special tight end. Like when we're going to play Kansas City, a lot of the defensive game plan is geared around how do we stop Kelsey. Mm-hmm. And for these elite tight ends, you need a special kind of defensive player, like whether you're putting Hamilton on him as an example. If likely becomes the another version of that, and Baltimore has two of those guys, then maybe that's something that we haven't seen since Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski were on the same field together. Two guys with the skill set that you would have to have that kind of special player for each of them. And maybe that is a unique passing game that you could build a unique passing game around that. I can't think of a time where that has been an approach that a team took.
Right. It's like really using two split tight ends, a 2x2 formation. And yeah,
that's right. If Baltimore were, likely were played for Kansas City, in addition to Kelsey, would we be going into the Kansas City week thinking, okay, well, Hamilton can cover Kelsey, but who's going to cover Likely? We don't have another Hamilton. And so, you know, does that package give other teams a lot of problems where it doesn't really matter what they do on the outside because they can't defend the middle of the field?
Okay. All right. Well, very good. Other things before we close it down, anything else you want to say about this?
Just that I'm just really excited to see. I mean, we've talked about this being a potential problem. You know, there aren't Justin Jeffersons that grow on trees. Not every team has a guy that can just beat man coverage, press coverage all by himself. And so I don't think we should lose heart that Baltimore doesn't have that guy on their roster. This is a really good team. The coaches are really – this is the other thing. We talk about these concerns. It's not that the coaches are aware of this too, and they're dialing stuff up. I'm really excited to see what the team has in store, what guys like Zay and Bate can do, you know, with a healthy season, you know, where hopefully we're in for some good surprises with guys stepping up. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah. It's regarding Jefferson in particular. If I've made this point before, so I'm repeating. That's okay. Not everybody listens to every episode. Folks that talk about such and such not being a number one receiver, they have in mind a number one receiver, and they're really talking about the top 8 to 12 guys in the league. So
yeah,
20 teams don't have a number one receiver. All right. Yeah. So, don't tell me, you know, the Ravens don't have a number one receiver is a huge problem there. I find the definition of that to be really tiresome. And in particular, I mean, the Ravens haven't had a number one running back. They don't need a number one running back when they, or it's, so far it's been the case that they haven't needed a number one running back in the Lamar Jackson era to be by far the most dominant run team of the last 5 years. Now they've got a true outstanding back, and we'll see how much it adds. It might add a lot. It might be somewhat duplicative and add less than we think it will. But we can be hopeful about that. I find the whole numbering of wide receivers, so he's a number two, he's not a number one kind of thing, just extremely tiresome to me.
Yeah. And I keep repping for the reception perception website, but one of the things that I have learned through, you know, listening to them talk about receivers is the categorization of receivers. And you do a good job talking about this in your show. You got your X, you got your Z, you got your slot. And a lot of these teams, like, they thrive. Their passing game is built around something of a power slot, like a Cooper Kupp or an Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, these guys that are going to line up either in the Z role or primarily inside, and they're going to run a lot of these over the middle routes. And, you know, when I think of a number one receiver, like, frankly, like, Zay is a number one receiver. Like, he's going to earn a massive target share. Like, he is very skilled. What Baltimore lacks is that press breaking X receiver. At least that's the guy that they haven't had. And that's really how we should be talking about this. And, you know, cause all of these guys have different skills and capabilities, and hopefully Bateman's that guy. I mean, you know, we've been hoping for a couple of years now, and he's shown flashes. Like, he has that kind of, like, that's what he's billed as. So we'll see.
That's outstanding stuff, Brad. Really appreciate having you on. This is in a particularly good concerns topic, and I appreciate you bringing it to us. Tell folks where they can talk football with you.
Sure. I'm on Twitter/X at MC Bradley.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. We're actually running through a big glut of programming. So if you are looking for film study content, check your podcast platform twice per day for material at this particular time. So we will have that going on for a while right now, based on the shows we've had kind of in the can, ready to go. And we'll hopefully have you join us for a number of those. If you want to be on a show, obviously DM's always open. I'll get back to you very quickly on a topic that you have in mind. Brad, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Ken.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.